Well, y'all don't know how exciting it is to have you here. I realize it seems like a small crowd, but I've been preaching to half of what's sitting in the platform in the back in the sound booth right now for the last several weeks. And so to have somebody to look at and not stand here and look just back at that camera is fun. So hello, everybody. Hi, Bobby. How are you? It's good to be here. Good to have you here. I want you to open your Bible with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, I wish somehow I knew how to use other terms so that your internal hard drive would not go to when I start talking that you already think you know what I'm about to say. So many times when you start teaching the Word of God and you read a scripture, somebody thinks they already know what you're going to say because they know what that says. And our internal hard drives at times has us thinking that we know something when God's wanting to tell us something different. And today, I really want us to hear what God is saying. Let me tell you one thing that today's message is going. It's called A More Excellent Way, and you'll see where I get that in a few moments. But one of the things that I know God is saying with what has happened with coronavirus over these weeks and us not having church and us coming back to church, and that is Jesus is building His church. We've been building our church. Not His church. I mean, it's not our church. It's His church. Jesus said, I'll build a church. We are participating with God in building His church. I don't think we've been malice or unkind or anything wrong with where we've been. It's just that it's real easy to get to doing our thing instead of His thing. And this circumstance, this situation has kind of forced all of us to do what has to be done that's out of our control, and that's probably a good thing. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, let me begin reading. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture, but I want you to hear it not with a fixed internal drive of knowing, but to hear what Scripture, what God is trying to say to us today. He says, you also as living stones, your living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. He says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Some people stumble and some people get offended at this rock, Jesus. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now, listen carefully, this is what God's saying to us, but now are the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, he says, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When he says here to us that we are now the people of God, that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, that we once were not the people of God, but now we are the people of God. He's talking to you and I today. Now, what I want to talk about today and what God is wanting to build can't be faked. We're entering into an experience with God, I believe. I've always taught that God wants us to be authentic. We are, listen to me say this, we are authentically, those of us who have accepted Christ, been born of the Spirit of God, we are children of God. We are authentic children of God. And being a child of God and what God's wanting to do on the earth in His people, those of us who have an experience with the Lord, our experience with the Lord can't be fake. It's got to be real. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying to you is, either you have Christ in your heart or you don't. If you have Christ in your heart, you need to let Him live His life in you. God doesn't want us to be fake children. I'm not using the word Christians because that's I don't want you to be programmed. I'm a child of God. You know, I'm learning as I get older, because I'm a child of Paul Ray Farley, I act more like Paul Ray Farley. Travis acts more like his daddy and Paul Ray Farley than he realizes sometimes. Why? Because he's a child. I'm my daddy's child. Look at me. You are God's children. It's who you are. Either you have Him in you or you don't. If He is in you, He's at work within you, and He wants to do a work in you. Let me give you some scriptures here. In Galatians 4, verse 19, He says this, listen, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." He said, you're my children, I'm laboring till Christ is formed in you. Over in 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to read several verses here in the next few minutes, but in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Beloved," or "behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God." Now listen to this. "And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Listen to me. If I've seen the Lord, if I've seen the Lord, I better not just know what He's wearing. I should be like Him. Everybody hear me say this, because this is critical. Anybody who comes to you and tells you they've heard the Lord and they're not acting like Him, they're not demonstrating like Him, they're not loving like Him, they're putting you down because they've seen Him and you haven't, they really haven't seen Him. They want you to think that they're spiritual, but they're not spiritual, because spiritual people, when you've seen Him, you're going to be like Him. And He is love. We'll get more into that in just a moment. But, you know, if I tell you that I've seen the Lord, I better be the one who's changed. I should be like him, because when you see him, you're going to be like him. If I'm not different, I don't care how well I can describe what he was wearing. If I'm not behaving like him, then I probably haven't seen him and probably haven't been in his presence. When we see him, we're going to be like him. So the testimony that I've seen the Lord is that my life is different. How many of you know, since Jesus came into your life, you're a different person than you used to be? I get around some of my friends from high school days and college days, and we talk about who we were, and I realize today that guy no longer exists. I'm not the same person I was when I was in college. I'm not the same person I was before I accepted Christ. That person no longer exists. I'm just not the same person I used to be before Christ came into my life. Why? Because I'm being transformed every day that I live more and more into his image and his likeness. Now listen, folks, what I'm trying to say to you is this can't be faked. I think we ought to be praying and asking the Lord to help us be the real deal. I think God's calling us to step into another dimension, a dimension of his love, a dimension of his grace, a dimension of his mercy that, as the video and the teaching to the kids is, we've not seen yet exactly who Christ is living in his people to the degree that I think we're going to see, because when he returns, when he comes back, when we see him, we're going to be just like him, and we're being transformed into that image every day. See, I can't emphasize enough that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. I've not been predestined to heaven. We got people trying to go to heaven when that's not the issue at hand at all. The issue is, are we living our life in such a way that we're like Christ? Well, a lot of people try to fake being like Christ when they're not. But as soon as they start talking, you know by what comes out of their mouth. You know by how they live. You know by how they act when you wrong them. If you wrong somebody, you still have to act like Christ. If somebody treats you bad, you still are supposed to act like Christ, because you're a child of God. Let me ask you, why do we believe it's so hard to live one day without sin in our lives? Why do we think that it's hard to live without sin? It's not heresy to think you can't overcome sin. It's not heresy to think you can live your life being just like Jesus. That's not heresy. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We as his children should act like him. I can remember when I was a little kid, I would act like my daddy. But all the adults knew when I was faking it. I've seen my kids. Talia can put on a pair of breeches, pull her hair back, and stand around with her hands in her pocket just like me. They make the grandkids dressed up like my mom and dad. You understand what I'm saying? They can put Travis, he can just look just like my daddy. Well, that's when he had hair to comb like my dad. Listen to me say this. I'm not a sinner, therefore I don't have to sin. We ought to believe we're not sinners. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I do everything right. I'm just simply saying I shouldn't have to sin. Now, watch what I'm doing. I want to just read you some scripture, and I want you to listen to this scripture. I wish I could turn your hard drive off so that you didn't think you knew this already, and just listen to what the Word of God says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Listen to what it says. It says, "And everyone who has this," now this is preceding the verse I just read, "when we see him, we shall be like him." That's what I'm reading. That's verse 2. Verse 3 says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, listen to this, Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. I'm just reading you the Bible. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen carefully. I'm still just reading Scripture, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. When are we going to ever see that God is for us, not against us? Listen to me, church. We are blessed to be children of Almighty God. We're blessed to be children of God. We've been taught our whole life, most of us who've been in church, all you have to have is faith, the kind of faith of a grain of mustard seed. In other words, mustard seed faith is just a little bit of faith. We say just a little bit of faith. Well, let me just make this clear, that I believe faith is not the issue. The issue is not do we have faith. I believe that God has given to every man the measure of faith. I believe that God has given us his faith. I believe that he puts, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. I believe that God gives us faith, his faith. Now listen to this. Say this with me. Say, we have the faith of the Son of God in us. We have the faith. God has given to every man the measure of faith, and that faith is the faith of the Son of God. And we have it in us. Here's the problem. Are we believing God and using our faith in him for our things or for his things? Listen carefully to what I'm trying to say. Are we believing God for our things, or are we believing God for his things? I know a lot of people want to use their faith to get a new car. Oh, I'm just believing God for a new car. Well, really, is that what you want to use your faith for? Well, I just believe, you know, I'd like to have a new car. Maybe the faith that he's given me, his faith, is not for me to get for me. Maybe the faith he gives me is for me to be able to co-labor with him. I don't know about you, but you know, I need a little bit of faith to believe that he can transform me into his image and his likeness. I need a little bit of faith, and I need some of you with some faith, believing that he can make you and I act and behave the way we're supposed to act and behave as his children. I can remember my mom looking at my dad saying, "Ray, I can't believe we raised them boys. We didn't raise them like that." And I don't ever remember him saying that about my sister. Listen to me. To use his faith, not just to get stuff, but to use his faith to believe him that he can accomplish through us what he has purposed to accomplish through us here on this earth. Listen to me, guys. God didn't do what he has done in us as a corporate body to bring us to this place and this time for us to not be able to do everything that he has purposed us to do. And we should be believing that we're going to accomplish everything God has called us as a church to accomplish. We ought to be believing together for that. Well, you know, Pastor, we can't even have church. Let me just tell y'all something. I've had more people listen to me since the coronavirus started on the internet than I've ever had come in here and sit on a crowd in Sunday morning. Y'all realize that? I mean, last Sunday was a low Sunday, and we still had 673 hits on there. Somebody said, well, everybody doesn't watch it all the way through. Yeah, but I can name you at least 10 people that had 2 to 5 people sitting there with them watching the whole service. We've been put live on Sunday night on an Oak Hill TV station, 9 o'clock prime time, and we're getting more watches on that than we are on our own streaming channel. We're on TV, on Cozy TV, in 27 counties. The same sermon, 27 counties. We got people watching us more than just what we have here. And I'm just simply saying, we're trying to glorify God. Can we believe that God can change people all over the world? Do we really believe that God can change our lives? And that we can be like he purposes us to be. Guys, have y'all ever read the verse that talks about looking at the lilies of the field, how that he clothes them, and that Solomon, in all of his splendor, the wisest man and one of the wealthiest men that ever lived on planet Earth, that Solomon, in all of his splendor, could not be clothed like one of the lilies of the field that God has clothed? I mean, do you realize how powerful that? Do we believe that? I'm not sure we do. God, help me with this. Help me say this the way you want me to do. I believe that part of our problem is that we don't believe that the church that the Lord is building, that he can build the church he wants us to be, we want it to be our church, not his church. Lord, what do you want? The Lord is building his church, not our church. You know, it's amazing to me that here's how the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, not my Father. He says, here I want y'all to pray. I want y'all to pray our Father. In that same Lord's Prayer, he said, thy kingdom come. Listen, I'm not building my kingdom. You're not building your kingdom. We're building his kingdom. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, it's our Father, it's your kingdom, it's your church that you're building. Well, I just want y'all to know that the Lord gave me the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is here to meet my every need. He's my errand boy. The Holy Spirit's here. He's going to do everything I tell him to do. He's going to help me get a new car. He's going to help me do this, and he's going to help me get that. The Holy Spirit's just here for me. I just want y'all to know he's here for me. How ridiculous is that? Well, do you have the Holy Spirit? I have the Holy Spirit. Just watch me. You can see me. Me, 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 me. That's the way we treat the third person of the Godhead. Oh, Lord, help me. Can I say this to you all? I know that I'm in the palm of God's hand. I know that the Lord is looking out for me. I do not have to go, I'm in the palm of God's hand, I'm in the palm of God's hand, yes, in Jesus' name, I'm in the palm of God's hand. I should know I'm in the palm of God's hand. Lord, I need a new pair of shoes. I need a new pair of shoes. I'm confessing I need a new pair of shoes. In Jesus' name, I need a new pair of shoes. Buy you some shoes, my goodness. Show me one place in the Bible where you saw the apostles praying or Jesus praying for something that they need. Jesus taught his disciples, just like he clothed the lilies of the field, he's going to clothe you. Just like he took care of the lilies and all of the things and the splendor that's in this earth, he's going to take care of you. Why? Because you are the children of God. He didn't give us his faith for us. He gave us his faith for him. You all realize he's already taken care of you and I? Now, I'm going to go back a few years, but just think about this for a moment, if you would. Let's just say, well, I'll say it like this. You know, it amazes me. My kids have never come home and said to Sheila, Mom, I just want you to know I'm believing you for a good dinner. I've been confessing a good dinner, and I'm hoping that tonight I'll get a good dinner, and I'm just saying in Jesus' name I want a good dinner. Do y'all know what Sheila would have done? She would have looked them in the eye and she said, what on earth is wrong with you? Oh, Mom, I'm just believing in Jesus' name for a good dinner. Go clean your room. But, Mom, I'm just believing. I wish the church would stop wasting their breath confessing and saying that God's going to take care of them. God's going to take care of you. I can just see Sam and Peugeot are sitting right here with them two wonderful boys. And I can just see Brack and Zeke coming in and Sam coming in, getting ready to snuggle them into bed and cover them up and get them all snuggled in. And I can just see Brack looking up and say, Dad, I'm confessing in Jesus' name that you're going to be here and protect me through the night. I'm just trusting in Jesus' name that you're going to be here and not going to leave me nor forsake me. I know there's crazy parents in the world, but I'm telling you, children of God, God's children love their kids, and it's not something that they have to go around doing. The kids know they're going to be there. Listen to me. I wish the church would know that God loves them and he cares for them. He's in the palm of their hand. He wants you clothed. He wants you full. He wants you protected. God wants to walk with you. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days. I will put my laws in their heart. I wish the church would recognize that God is not some big ogre up there with a club in his hand, ready to knock you out for saying a wrong word. He's not up there with some checklist waiting to see if you fail the test so he can kick you out. But that's the image that's sad that most of the church has of God. I can't tell you how many people have told me I'd be afraid to come to church because I'm afraid it would fall in. And I'm thinking, you have an awfully high opinion of yourself. A I mean, look, you can come to my house and you can steal. But I'm not going to pray for my house to fall because you came and did something silly there. Listen at this. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Now here's what's sad. Most of us read that, and you know what we think? We think that's heaven. Most of us think, when I get to heaven, I'll be like him, but as long as I'm on this earth, I'm not going to be like him. What good is it when you get to heaven to be like him? He needs you to be like him right now. Help me, Lord. Every generation is responsible for their generation, and right now I have a desire to raise up a generation of kids who know who they are, who knows whose they are, who know who they belong to. They know that God loves them. They know that God's with them. They know that they're children of God. They know that God's going to walk with them and talk with them. They know that it may not be an easy, but they're going to get through every battle. I'm not trying to raise kids to meet Jesus, but to become everything he has purposed them to become for their generation. I'm raising kids that will fulfill their destiny. God wants to show himself to every generation, and there is a destiny for every generation, and the torch must be passed. We've got to raise up another generation to do more than anything we've ever done or accomplished as a church in our lives. We have a job to do and a purpose in doing it. I know my time is gone, but I want to close by saying this to you, and this is where I got to get my sermon tonight, this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he says this. Verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. In chapter 12, he's going through all of the gifts of the Spirit, and he says, desire the best gifts. He says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What I titled today's message is, A More Excellent Way. Hidden in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we call the love chapter, which I use at almost every wedding that I do, and it goes through talking about what love is. He says, I can speak with the tongue of men and angels. If I have not love, it's nothing. He says, if I bestow all my gifts, I can have prophecy and everything, but if I love, it's nothing. If I give everything that I own, all my goods to the poor, and I have not love, it's nothing. He goes through all these things. Love suffers long, is kind, love is patient, love doesn't envy, doesn't parade itself, is not puffed up. He goes through all of these things, and he comes to this place, and he says, love never fails. Then he gets into this more excellent way. He says, when that which is perfect has come, look at verse 10. He says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And here's what the church has done with this for years. They say, well, when that which is perfect has come, that means at the second coming. Look at me. Listen to me. The second coming is nowhere mentioned or talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or chapter 13. He is talking about gifts of the Spirit and love that we should have here now as children of God walking on planet Earth. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I guess y'all showed me the time and I'm way over, right? Long time ago. See, I got y'all here and I just forgot. Forgot to even look up there about a time thing. We may be off the air, but I got a couple things I want to say to you. Listen to me. You and I can become mature children of God, responsible to grow up and mature. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect saints till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Guys, let's start using our faith to quit believing for things and start believing that God will do a work in us and through us. For the last 2 months, I come out here and I ride around this property. We have magnificent buildings, magnificent facilities. God has blessed us beyond my wildest dream or imagination. But everything that's the stuff is about teaching people to mature in their walk with God and becoming what He purposed us to be here on this earth. I have no problem telling you that everything I own and everything I possess, I've been preaching this for several years. My daddy kept trying to give us everything he had. When he passed away a few weeks ago, we have it. Don't mean anything to me. I want him. I want to be the godly person he was. God can give you all of the stuff. Listen, most of us have more stuff than we know what to do with. But God wants us to be like him and be his children and love each other and walk with each other and fellowship with each other. I promise you, when we go back to hugging, I may hug everybody who walks in the door out there. Are you hearing me? Because God is love. That's the more excellent way. Listen to me. You can't fix the world, but you can let God work in you and hope that He has an ability to influence somebody else through your life. He didn't call me to change the world. He called me to allow Him to change you and I, me. And hopefully my example can help you in some way, or some teaching can help you in some way, so that He can come into your life. Jesus lives in us. His Holy Spirit lives in us. I understand you're in a flesh container, but the flesh don't need to rule. The carnal don't need to rule. Jesus needs to rule. Father, I thank you for the service today. I thank you for the hearts and the lives of each one that's here. I hope that my words have permeated their hearts and their minds. Touch us today, I pray. Give us, Lord Jesus, the change that we need in our hearts. We'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.